This program is available on this quality radio services: Replay Radio, Breeze Radio, Talk Radio X, Audioboo, Spreaker, Absence Radio, Nonstop Radio, plus the leading tablets, phones and PCs.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.
Welcome to Postcard from Poprad. And I've got to say, sorry, Rach isn't going to be here this week. But coming up in a mo, in a little while, it'll be young Rob, who's going to be filling her shoes.
Excuse me?
What?
Sorry, I'm not supposed to interrupt at this point, but you can't say. What's he filling her shoes with?
His feet.
He's a transvestite?
No! Oh, my Lord, the programme started off at a bad level already.
I'm sorry, it's because I interrupted
you. Yeah, I know, here we go then. We'll start again. Hi, I'm Eric Wiltshire. I am. I'm Eric Wiltshire. This is Postcard from Poprad. And welcome to you wherever you are in the world. As I regularly remind you, we are in the town of Poprad, just underneath the beautiful Tatry Mountains. Still got snow on the top, actually, which is rather nice. However, it's hot and sticky and stuff like that, and there's no wind around. So this weekend, it's fly my helicopter time again. Rachie's actually packing, but she's also quite poorly. I did speak to her before, and she'd have made a lovely voice. You know that bloke that does...
It was a nice voice. I liked
it. Lovely. Deep voice.
Sorry, I've just interrupted again.
I should introduce you then, shouldn't I, really?
Yeah, tell them who I am.
Lee.
Lee?
Yeah.
I am more than that. I'm not a monosyllabic name.
It's... Lee Banks.
Lee G. Banks.
On the sit of the nose of Europe.
I want my intro.
Why do you... I used to use my N on my name years ago on radio. So I used to go, Eric N. Wiltshire. And then I thought, that is so old-fashioned.
Well, I know, but it just is, isn't it? Lee G. B. That's my name. Lee G. L. G. B. It means I'm lesbian, gay and bisexual. I am proud to be that.
Oh, no, it's not. It's because you're trying to differentiate between other Lee Bankses.
Yeah, there's a lot of Lee Bankses around.
So basically what you're saying is it's common.
I'm a special one. I am a G.
Yeah, right. Anyway, we'll be hearing from Robin a little bit, plus the news as well. Lee won't be talking about his role as Canardi this week, as I predicted, because it still doesn't work.
It's got a broken linkage. It's not even broken. It's just rattling a bit.
So your car's not been on the road for 2 weeks.
It's been on the road every day. It goes out every day. I've even had it polished. It looks lovely. All its glittery paint is glittering. It looks gorgeous. There's just a little linkage because this ridiculous country called the UK won't repair its roads. So its little linkage has got a bit of a thing on it.
This is the car he described as a muscle car, ladies and gentlemen.
It is a muscle car.
It's got a little problem with its linky poo.
Its little linkage thing. It's like having what, those things that stick out when you're a foot. Okay, I'll go down.
Don't go there. Anyway, and I'm very proud to announce actually this week that there's a... Have a look at it, please, and welcome anybody who wants to come in. A brand new service in Slovakia.
Yeah.
Which RTI will obviously be supporting. And it's www.bbcslovakia.uk. Now, please note that's not a mistake. There is no co in the front because this is the new versions of URLs for the UK. So that's bbcslovakia.uk. You'll find out what it's all about there. It is a business council trying to encourage Slovak and British businesses to join forces, get together, share information, and see where they can do business with each other, which I think is rather nice. So do have a look at www.bbcslovakia.uk and find out what's been going on in and around that part of the world as well. I think we should have Lee on there as a media person.
I think we should.
Do you think?
Yeah, and I want to be a lord.
You want to be a lord?
I want to be a lord. I want to be knighted.
Oh, right.
I'd go with Rob in his shoes, in his girl's shoes, and I'd have my nightie on.
That's what I was about to say. You get into a nightie every night anyway. Anyway, we move to India before we bring Robin in about...
Can I tell my little bit of news first?
What news?
that... No, this is a tragedy for the village of the damned.
Oh,
it's a sad, sad day for the village of the damned, ladies and gentlemen.
No, do you know what will be the good day?
What?
When the lake overflows and it goes underwater.
That's a terrible thing to say about the village of the damned, and we have lots of listeners in the village of the damned, and I'm going to point out it was you who said that they should all drown.
No, they can live in the high ground and you drown.
Why do you want me to drown?
I don't know. Just thought it sounded right.
You just thought you were going to be funny and then it turned bad on you now.
Is there anybody that really lives in the village of the damned?
No, they're all dead.
That's what they're I mean. So what's up?
No,
so basically, what you're saying is, I tell them that they should get drowned, and you're telling them they're all so interesting, they're all dead.
Exactly. You know that programme that's on about The Walking Dead? I think it's called The Walking Dead.
No, never heard of it.
Well, The Walking Dead zombies, and they just eat you. They're just nasty people. Well, that's what the Village of the Damned's filled with. Sorry, the Village of the Damned. I don't know. I'll see you all in the pub tonight, but I don't
care.
Yeah,
right. Anyway, talking of dead...
They'll be there news.
Talking of dead people...
Well, excuse me. What? I need to make this announcement.
Oh, go on then. Make it quick.
My barn is actually physically coming down as we speak. It's been in it's been the centre point of the Village of the Damned for over 100 years.
You said that last week.
Nobody's coming down this week. I just announced that it was going to be.
So we had an announcement that a barn was coming down on global radio.
Yeah.
And this week we've had another announcement to say that the announcement that you made last week was a bit premature and is actually starting to come down now, but we're not sure yet.
Yeah, and next week I'm going to do another announcement about the fact it's gone.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, talking to somebody gone, 102 years old was the lovely... Yeah. I'm going to get it wrong, and I'm so sorry about this, because the lady is just marvellous. Zora Segal, is that right, Lee?
That's about right, yeah. Zora
Thank
Segal.
You. Zora Segal. Wonderful lady. Been in the entertainment business since the 1930s. Started off as a dancer before Bollywood was Bollywood to most parts of the planet. But she carried on working for like ever. And she's been in hundreds and hundreds of films, this lady. Unbelievably brilliant.
How many was she making a year then?
I don't know, but it was something crazy that she was doing, you know, almost up to like now.
I know.
And she just didn't stop working. And she's done it in Hindi, in English. She's done television, movies, you name it. A real good old quality trooper. And sadly missed. Even the Prime Minister paid tribute to her as well.
And I think as daft as it sounds, it's a nice death for her. Because
yes.
she's lived healthy and then all of a sudden she just like...
Boof, yeah.
Yeah, just that was it. She was ill for a couple of days and that's it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Sad, tragic. But tragic.
But I'm sure my dear friend Honey over in London will be missing her as well.
Honey?
She's Honey, yes.
She's
a Bollywood lady.
Is she indeed?
Yes. Look up Honey's Dancing School in London. Don't go, she's lovely. She's the lady.
I believe you. I am not putting into my typing my search thing honeypot. I am not putting that in. I would be arrested.
I'm just sure you would. Anyway, moving along to something slightly more serious. We've got people demanding of us. Demanding that we save the National Health Service. From what?
It's a letter from Dory.
Yeah, I know, but what are we supposed to be saving it from?
Oh, from itself. From itself. No, I think this is nice. We announced 2 weeks ago that we wanted to up the ante in our consumer and in our consumer wars to help people with things.
Absolutely, yeah.
Dory Bridge has written to us.
Hello, Dory.
Hello, Dory.
Is that a lady or a gentleman?
Dory, I don't know. It could be. It's like Laurie, isn't it? She could be a driver for a...
It could be a Joe. Like a Joe and a Joe.
A jory.
So it could be boy or girl.
She could, maybe that's why she needs the National Health to work.
Could be. Anyway, so what does Dory want?
Well, Dory's very upset at the fact that the general consensus in Britain is that the National Health Service is actually being privatised by stealth by the government. And in a lot of ways, I sympathise with her. Mm. She wrote us a long letter. 575 words were in this letter, and I had to read it all for this show.
Don't knock it. Don't knock it. No, I can understand Dory's point to a degree. I do.
You just take it over. I'm not made a point.
No, she wants us to save the National Health Service because of privatisation. I understand that, but I live in a country where most of, say, my GP for a minute, pardon me, GP, she runs a private medical centre, if you like. So it's her business, but it's funded by central government, because, like in England, we pay NHS type bits within taxes and things, and so I can choose to go to this doctor, or this doctor, and I'm actually in charge of it, even though the person, the doctor who's looking after me, is a self-employed person. Private.
Well, that's the way the doctor service is going in Britain, isn't it? Now they operate as their own businesses. They're funded, and they have to operate as a business. They have to make a profit, which is fine. They're not actually making a profit, though. If they're losing money, they're not going to be doing very well, are they?
Well, exactly. But they are there to, you know, pay for the building, look after the building.
Oh, that's right. It's a business.
Blah 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 blah. Rather than having a million people on an HR system in the health service, they've got the one person that maybe has the four other people in one unit, which, in actual fact, saves Slovakia a great deal of money.
I agree. That isn't the point that Dory's making.
What is he then?
He's been like this all day, ladies and gentlemen. He just won't shut up. He phoned me up about one thing. 2.5 hours later, he's still talking. He didn't know I'd been to the gents. I'd been out on the mail and I'd walked round the garden. He's just going on and on and on. Here's what Dory says.
Right.
Today, I think that's the voice, that's how I imagine her speaking, you see. Right.
You sure it's a her now?
Well, it's either a bloke who drives a lorry or it's a transvestite. We've decided that's the third.
Okay, right.
The show now.
Right.
Three transvestites in one day, eh?
Yeah, good, isn't
LGB, it? LGB. Right. So she says, today, millions of people awaiting appointments are being sent to a private medical... Oh, I've messed that up. Today, millions of people waiting appointments are being sent to private medical companies. The NHS is picking up the bill. Right. Opportunities for the private health sector are greatly increased. There's no doubt that they are being kept in business by millions of pounds of public money intended for the NHS. Well said, Dottie.
There's a fundamental flaw in that argument.
Go on, then.
If it is that you go into hospital, Dory, and you know, I speak as one who've used more than my national health share.
Or this.
No, I've used more than my fair share of the NHS in England when I live there. The hospital pays for an aspirin.
Yeah.
It pays for every operation you do, whether you're in a resus unit or whatever, or you have a hip replacement. The NHS has to pay for that hip replacement. So if an operation combined costs, for simple numbers... Hello, Andrea, in the background.
She's my secretary. She was... You're just doing it again. You're being terrible today. I wish to explain that we have an exclusive story which we can use later on in this show.
Right.
And Andrea, right, has just come in, having spoken to the underwriters at this insurance company, and has a comment off them for us to use on the show.
Oh, right. Okay. That's all right. That's proper research.
You should apologise now.
I'm sorry, Andrew. I just thought he was forcing you to bring him a cup of tea again. But anyway, the fact is that if you... And I'm going to use simple numbers, Dory. Let's just suppose this whole operation costs...
Very patronising that, Dory, isn't it?
No, because I can't add up. That's the fact. If we just say the operation's going to cost £100, for example, the cost of what it physically is in the NHS, that's what they have to pay out. The nursing staff, the doctors, yada, yada, yada. They all have to be paid for. If it is that what they call a private hospital can do the exact same for £80 or even £100, what is the problem with people going there to get the waiting list down?
I can see where you're coming from, but I can also see where Dorian. I think that's a very good point. Actually, I'm not denying that. Mm. But most operations aren't done for you're not having your toenail done or something like that. So you are moving into an area where
it costs a lot of money. Yeah,
that's right. But what I think where Dorian's coming from is very easy. The NHS was a fabulous thing. And it's impossible for it to function in the way that it was designed to function. We just can't afford it anymore. It's impossible to afford it.
No, you could. I don't agree with that.
Go on, then.
I don't, because there's several problems. Number one, when you go to a hospital in Slovakia, it's like earth-shattering almost, apart from when Eric goes in there, because the person in charge of the ward... The god is like a matron from the 1960s.
Yes.
You do as you are told. No arguments, no debates. That's what you do, boys.
Definitely no mass debates.
Stop it. Equally, do you know what? There's no superbugs in hospitals here.
I know. That's the other thing, you see.
Part of it is because, unless your name happens to be Eric... Sorry, everybody in Preshof at the Louis Pasteur Hospital again. The fact is that when you go there, you go to this sister. Yeah, it's a sister you go to. You are then signed in. Your bags are put away with all your things in it. You change into your pyjamas and flip-flops, slippers or whatever. All right, you then go to the ward. You do not take... any, you know, your normal clothes with bugs on them, because you have bugs on your clothes, it's not nasty, it's just normal.
Yeah.
But they have a very 1960s attitude to the way in which the hospital care is given out. And it works. And the second thing is that, you know, they do care. I tell you what, the nursing staff in Slovakia, just like the NHS, they care.
What do you think he's on, ladies and gentlemen? He just won't shut up, will he?
No, because this is so important. I love the NHS with a passion.
Yeah, but you can't love the NHS when it's failing left, right and centre.
It's only failing because the main impetus of the NHS is not medical care. The problem with the NHS...
It's become a business.
It's become a business.
Exactly.
And it's not capable of being a business... It hasn't got the expertise to be a business. And if you want to see it work, there was actually from up your way, Lee, James the Chef. He's on BBC.
I know him.
BBC One on a Saturday morning from years back.
Oh, I knew you, but I can't know his name.
No, James. Now, he did a programme up in Blackpool or somewhere where he went into an NHS hospital, looked at the budget... that they were spending in the kitchens.
Yeah.
He turned it round, and instead of having packet meals, he had...
Jamie Oliver.
No, James. Not Jamie.
Well, he's the one who went and did all the schools.
No. This is a hospital programme, and you can look at it. In fact, I think, if my memory serves me rightly, Lee, and in fact I'm sure I'm right, on the press office stuff I get from the BBC, it restarted recently. So you can watch it on the BBC iPlayer, those of you in the UK. He actually turned a packet menu kitchen in an NHS hospital to a fresh food menu with locally sourced, not centrally sourced, produce. He then added a really high-end, absolutely marvellous restaurant for the staff, which even at staff prices made a profit.
Yeah.
That profit was ploughed back into patient care in the kitchen to further enhance the menu that the patients got. That's a privatised kitchen, in so many words, working. If they took that across the NHS, do you know what would happen in the first place?
Well, they couldn't do it.
Half the managers would get fired.
Well, exactly, but that's the point. And I think the point you make, I think we're just like arguing across each other for no reason. But the simple fact with the NHS is that it doesn't function anymore. People talk about, nobody now talks about how wonderful the NHS is. What they talk about is how wonderful the nurses are. And I even find that a bit doubtful because the nurses are not really nurses. They're just people who come in off the street, basically.
Right. Well, let's find a second view, because in my view, the Slovak medical system's really good. Rob's now joined us.
Hello, Rob.
Oh. Hello.
I'm all right, man. How are you?
I'm very good. And yourself?
Well, I'm good, but I just want to know, what's it like to be in Shay's Rob? Packing, so you're a packer.
I am.
Like a Kerry.
Not like Kerry. You're currently a packer.
Yes.
You're a moving planner.
Yes.
Not only that, you're Rachel's nurse.
Uh-huh. I am tonight, yes.
Yes, because she's sick. So what's it like functioning in such a dramatic set of terms?
Yeah, look, it's a lot of responsibility. There's no doubt
about
that. Absolutely. She takes a lot of looking after, Rachel.
Yes.
But, look, it's a two-way street.
She looks after me as well. Is she a good patient? No.
No.
No. Right. Rob,
does she need to take a lot of looking after because there's a lot of her, or because she's just trouble?
I'm not going to go there, Lee.
Chicken. Rob, we want to know the answer to this one. Right. There's a cry out from listeners in the UK to... save the National Health Service because they don't want it to be privatised, which is not really a good idea in my book anyway, but there's ways of doing it. So how does the health system work in Australia? Can we find a model there that we could take to England?
Oh, I don't really know. I mean, we have a national health system.
Right.
So is it supposed to be free?
Yes.
And is it free?
Right.
Well, I mean, if you pay tax, it's not free. But
exactly, they are. They're a start for us. Okay. Do you have to pay for prescriptions?
You do. You do.
And you have to pay for your teeth to be mended.
Well, I don't think. Look, it's because I'm not. I don't really use it that much because I've got private healthcare. So anything like dentistry or anything like that, I use. Healthcare,
so your National Health Service, which you presented as a free service, actually isn't free, and that's exactly what the problem here is.
Nothing in this world's free.
No, it's not. The NHS in the UK is not free.
No. I mean, it's a good system, I think, because those
is it killing people?
Oh, possibly. Well, there's a huge waiting.
And it's not a good system.
Do you say there's a huge waiting list?
Yeah, well, because they grade it. They grade it in, like, there's elective surgery, then there's emergency surgery, and then there's, I guess you could say, life-threatening surgery.
That's what we hope over here.
Yeah. But not emergency. So, and they get categorised. And, like, if you just need to, say, get a knee reconstruction, you can still walk. You can wait 9 months. You can wait 12 months for an operation. If you've got proper health, which is what I've got, you can pick your doctor and pick your time.
Right.
So, yeah, but of course not everybody can afford that.
No,
so,
but you've got both systems working alongside each other.
Yes, we do.
So the reality is that the private healthcare, by default, I suppose, is taking you away from the national healthcare, which does give a little bit more opportunity for those that maybe can't afford it. And that's the way the thing works, yeah?
Absolutely, and it gives you choice. You know, like I want really good healthcare, and I'm willing to pay a bit extra for it. So, because when I am sick, which is very very rare, but you know, I don't want to be put in a waiting list and all that sort of stuff.
No.
I want it.
No, okay. So that's one of the things in England that everybody frowns upon, the sort of the private healthcare things. I think if people were more positive about private healthcare in the UK. Which would free up beds and staff in the NHS. That would actually be a really good thing if the two systems ran alongside each other, but they don't.
I think that's a good idea. And what we said earlier on is right. What we should have in the UK is a choice of contributing to private healthcare or contributing to the free healthcare, which costs you a fortune and kills you.
But the thing is, private healthcare is still frowned upon by so many people in England. If they were to embrace it and go, this is a good thing, then it would put people over into the private sector when they can afford it, not a problem, and leave more resources for those that aren't as privileged as that and bring down the waiting list. What's the problem?
Well, about 15 years ago now, 12 years ago, they introduced two things which actually prompted people to switch to the private health system here, and that was they gave a tax incentive. So good idea.
Yep. Yeah.
So 30% of the cost of your private health is taken up by, you can pay for through your tax. And the other thing was penalties. Mm-hmm. So once you pass the age of 30, the cost of private health goes up.
Right.
Because what they found is a lot of young people say, well, why do I need it?
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. And let's face it, under the age of 30, you have to be in a, you have to be unfortunate to have to use it. So,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so what they said was, well, hang on, that's going to be a drain because our demographic's getting older.
Mm.
So what they want to try and do is get more people from 30 onwards getting onto it. So, yeah, so basically I think it goes up 2% every year.
So you're incentivized to go in if you want to.
Yes.
You're not forced.
Correct.
And for those that want to do it, and I think, do you know what, Lee, I reckon a lot of people would, if there was a little incentive from government to make it, give it a feel-good factor to have private medical care, then the NHS would service its other customers much better.
That's exactly the point I've made. There's an interesting point here off Dory, which... And I'm sorry, Dory, I'm not going to agree with you on this, but she says that Nye Bevin, the founder of the NHS in 1948, will be turning in his grave. Mm. He said at the inception of the NHS... No government attempts to destroy the health service can hope to command the support of the British people. And she says, I hope he was right.
No, you're
I don't
wrong.
Think he is right. He's absolutely wrong. The NHS now is probably one of the most least trustworthy organisations in
But there is another fundamental flaw, Lee. One, you've mentioned is money. And two, the volume of population.
Yeah.
You can't do this sort of thing for everybody all the time, 24/7, 365. No. If you get the two services to run symbiotically, then you'll get somewhere. And I think Rob's right. Get the two together.
I
do indeed.
But one of the other benefits is that the private hospitals also, because there's more private hospitals crop up, they also take public patients.
Yep.
So that's right.
That's where we started. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But then you get centres of excellence in that sort of healthcare system.
You do.
Where if you have got a heart problem, you go to a specialist heart place, not a general place. And that's another thing they have in Slovakia. They have heart hospitals. They have lung hospitals. They pull all the people together in centralised expertise. And if you need to get to the heart hospital quickly from Poprad, they chuck you in an ambulance, which flies, called a helicopter. And they just sort of like get you there. And that works. Anyway, listen, we're going to have to take a short commercial break, boys and girls. So time for that cup of tea, ice cream, or in Rachel's case... It's probably going to be wine and grapes, because she's just that kind of lady this week.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.